How did doing it change you and your teaching? How did bringing this in change you and your teaching?
You know, it was such a breath of fresh air.
Which is perfect when you're 5 years in.
It is. To be completely honest, it's not the best time to be a teacher. And it feels a little like a little crazy. Yeah. And then to have these girls come in and to have to look at the world of teaching through fresh eyes again was really, really powerful for me. Every time that they left, I was like, that was so great. Like, I'm telling my colleagues, we have an office filled with women and then it's all the English teacher women. Yeah. And I'm like, I loved that. That was so awesome. And I loved seeing it through their eyes. And then it also, like you were saying, asks you to examine what you're doing. I'm just giving pedagogical stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I should be repeating that more. Like, you see it in somebody else.
Yeah, all of a sudden you have to raise your game.
Right. Yep. And then, just empathy, just a lot of empathy.
You gave her all the humbleness too. Pretty cool. Humbleness and humility. Excellent. All right, we got about a minute left. So where do we go from here? What do you guys plan for?
For Teach to Matter?
Yeah.
So next Tuesday are our presentations. And, we'll have our RVCC friends there from the foundation, from service learning, from student life, hopefully folks from the administration coming in to actually see that the time and the energy and the recognition that Teach to Matter has earned is well deserved. Mm-hmm. And we'll also have, of course, the community partners there. And, next semester, and I'm so grateful. I was hoping Lauren would say she was going to do this.
I got it recorded, Lauren. You're done now.
I can hold her ransom now. So I'm hoping next semester
that
I'm hoping next semester that those students that were with their cooperating teachers this semester will enroll in field experience for the spring and then turnkey it with the students, because that's where the power really, really lies. And it just, it gives them the courage to say, you know what, I actually can do this. And then they graduate and they transfer.
I've been promised a beautiful PowerPoint from Juliana. So I look forward to seeing it.
And now you're probably already baking somewhere the next social cause that you're going to guide. What are you thinking of?
Oh, where will we be? So we'll be in Dickens. We'll be doing Great Expectations. So there's a whole smorgasbord there. Awesome. Maybe a Marxist.
Wow. Last question, Kathy. How does Choose to Matter? What's their take on the whole thing now that you've done this for 2 years?
So that's a great question. You know, at first they were really, 100% on board. They've been, they were very, very supportive, but they've evolved themselves as well. So the connection hasn't been as consistent, but they are completely supportive. And every time I share that I've done something, I email them or I tweet them or whatever, it is always with complete admiration and respect. They're so grateful that their message too is being shared.
And so I'll leave it with this.
Okay.
Because I asked you, how do you know when you made it? And I'm going to think that it's when somebody starts to call you up and say, I want to start using your curriculum, and maybe it's from California or Iraq or doesn't matter where, somebody calls you up and says, I want to do that. That's when it's all going to hit.
Thank you.
So very cool. Wow. Donna, I hope you're listening, because you keep sending me every time somebody it beats the next person. So thank you so much. It's great having you guys. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
It's been my pleasure to be with you every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Thank you to Kathy Shook, Lauren Young for their contribution to the show, and Michelle Heidi for her investment update. Vince Arlino says, never say I should have. Wow. Go check out Teach to Matter and all the social causes that they are trying to overcome the challenges. Stay tuned for the library show at 11 o'clock, and I'll be back tomorrow live from Vegas. Good morning, Hunter, and HuntShimmer.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. The family of Freddie Gray is thanking the jury for its service and says it's hopeful that a new trial for Baltimore Police Officer William Porter will end with a verdict.
They did the best that they could. We are hopeful that Miss Mosley will retry Officer Porter as soon as possible.
Richard Shipley is the stepfather of Freddie Gray, who died back in April while in Baltimore police custody. His death led to days of unrest across the city. It was announced Wednesday that jurors in the case were unable to reach a verdict on any of the charges Porter was facing. Defense Secretary Ash Carter is catching heat for using a personal email account for government business during his first months in the Pentagon. The New York Times reported yesterday that Carter was using the account in violation of Defense Department rules, even after the Hillary Clinton email scandal made headlines earlier this year. FBI agents were on hand this week as San Bernardino terrorists Syed Farouk and Tashin Malik were buried in an unidentified cemetery. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. Own small business. No time. Holidays busy. Pack stuff. Ship stuff. Help.
Well,
it's very much like the withdrawal from any other substance.
People recovering from other addiction problems have been able to get real help, such as AA and rehab, while people struggling with the aftermath of traumatic breakups have turned to friends, giving them moral support. Licensed marriage and family therapist Dr. Lisa Marie Bobby says staying away from an ex is a great way to help get over them.
Any contact with your ex reinforces this addiction. And the part of your brain that becomes addicted physiologically is at a level that is much deeper than that of, like, the part of your mind that thinks.
Dr. Bobby also says a love addiction can be very unhealthy.
But unfortunately, we don't always develop this addiction to the healthy person.
People dealing with a breakup can now get help from Exaholics Anonymous. You can learn more at exaholics.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
It's time for Hunt Chamber Radio in Flemington. It's 15 degrees. We have a severe weather alert in effect. It's going to be getting cold into the minus 30s with wind chill. We'll get down to minus 2 tomorrow night. So you need to make some preparations for that. Dry gas, making sure you're taking care of your pets, your house plants, and check on the elderly. Make sure that they're being taken care of as well. Clear skies today. Today is Friday, TGIF. February 12th, mix of clouds and sun early, followed by cloudy skies this afternoon, a high of 25. Winds will be southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Considerable cloudiness for this evening and a low near 15, wind southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. On Saturday, wind increasing, a few clouds from time to time, a high of 15, and wind southwest at 20 to 30 miles an hour. We'll get down to minus 1 tomorrow night, and that's going to be tough with the wind chill. 20 degrees on Valentine's Day and cloudy with a low of 8 on Valentine's Day night. Little precipitation on Monday, periods of snow during the afternoon, a high of 35. Chance of snow, 70%, 1 inch of snow accumulation. Tuesday, windy, periods of rain. Rainfall near 1 inch and a high of, believe it or not, 51 degrees. And finally, partly cloudy on Wednesday with a high of 44. That is Good Morning Hunter and Hunter Chamber Radio Weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Huntshimmer.com. It's our monthly series where we visit with people from Raritan Valley Community College, who I was just highlighting this morning because of them being military-friendly. But we're going to talk about honors, and we've got some folks in here that are going to talk about the honors and scholarship fraternity and sorority that represents RVCC and the students. So I have Stephen Schwartz with me, along with Angela Banford,
yes.
And I just had Sarah Banfield. I was all focused on Banfield and completely forgot your first name, Sarah. I'm sorry about that. That's terrible. I'm not going to take any excuse for that. So I got these three folks here, and we're going to learn a little bit about this perspective, but like we talk and we always do with folks from Raritan Valley Community College, we want to learn a little bit about the people. So, Stephen, you are part of the computer science department, is that correct?
Yes, I've been there since 2001, full time.
And now I do a tech show, by the way, on Tuesdays, so we'll have to do this again at some point to talk
sure.
about all that you do. But what is the focus of computer science today at a Raritan Valley Community College?
Well, all of our transfer programs require a course called computer literacy. So we teach about 40 sections a semester of that class, which mm-hmm. is just basically office and computer concepts. But we have a computer science major, and it's actually growing really well.
Wow.
Due to the high interest in technology. And we also have web page development. We have mm-hmm. web development majors as well. So I would say that would be the three big focuses.
What's the particular languages that you focus on today?
All of our programming classes, for the most part, use Java.
Okay. Excellent. You guys have come to the 21st century.
Well, we've been using it for a while.
I say it in jest because I learned, I don't know, a number of different versions of assembler, Pascal, Fortran. I know about 22 different languages.
Yeah, you're dating yourself.
Yes, I know. Punch cards, the whole works. Excellent. So Raritan Valley's in the throes of making us computer literate, and then we got Java. But you are also part of this honors program. How does computer science relate to this particular program that we're going to talk about today?
It really doesn't. When I was asked to volunteer, it was just because they needed a new advisor to help out. And this was, I think, probably 12 years ago. So the department I was in didn't really matter. It's just if I was willing to volunteer and help out with Phi Theta Kappa.
All right. Now, is there? This is a national organization?
Yeah, they say they're international. They have a few chapters outside of the U.S., but for the most part, it's a national honor society, and there are chapters in all 50 states.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a background to the particular Greek letters, Phi Theta Kappa? Am I putting you on the spot with that one?
I don't know. I mean, it was formed 100 years ago, so probably the people 100 years ago had a reason for it.
Okay.
What that reason is, I honestly couldn't tell you.
Sure. Well, it sounds very academic, and we'll get to the history of it. Sarah, what's your representing of Phi Theta Kappa? What's your role in it?
I'm also an advisor, similar to Steve. And so I am a professor at Raritan Valley as well. I work in the Communication and Languages Department, and I teach communication studies.
And what is that? We always throw communications out. So am I in the communications realm right now?
You are in the communication realm.
So I can be an assistant professor. All right, cool.
Yeah, and we have radio. We have Radio Club. And
you do?
Yes. It's online as well.
Excellent. So. Do you have a radio station over at RVCC?
Yeah, it is. It's a streaming one just like this is. It is a club base, though. So sometimes it comes in, sometimes it comes out just based on the students and the student involvement. So.
Well, it's a lot of fun. I've been doing this for 4 years now, and bringing a perspective to community and education and highlighting RVCC and all the other organizations in our area is a lot of fun and educational for me. But it's the medium. The terrestrial is on its way out. I'm sure you're well aware. Mm-hmm. But this is the way to do it. It's pretty cool.
Very true.
So
very
excellent. True. So how long you've been being a professor over there?
I've been at Raritan for 9 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. So a little while.
And how were you recruited to be an advisor for Phi Theta Kappa?
Similar to Steve, I was asked. They needed a volunteer, and I stepped up because it is one of those organizations that's. It makes an impact on campus, and it does a lot of good things for the students, and so I really wanted to be a part of it.
Cool. All right. And we have Angela Bamford, who flew in here.
I did.
So we gave you about 5 minutes to calm down and get all. So now what's your role?
I am chapter president.
Chapter president.
Yes.
And you are a student?
I am a student, yes.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
How long you've been at RVCC? 2 years?
2 years, yeah. This is my fourth semester.
Fourth semester. Yes. All right. And what's your field of study?
Communication studies. I've actually taken a class of hers.
All right. So, are you still a student of hers?
No, not anymore.
So you are completely unbiased.
Mm-hmm. I am. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, excellent. So how did you become the chapter president?
Well, I was elected. It's an election process, and we have to give speeches in front of our members, and then they. Elect based on who they want.
Now, what was the motivation for you to want to be the president?
I mean,
it's not like you don't have enough things to do, Angela, right?
Well, oh no, I have a lot to do. I decided to run a few weeks after my induction, after I got inducted into the society. I don't know why.
Wow.
I woke up one day and I said, why not? Why can't I be the president? So I won.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Somebody is actually getting off the chair and making things
happen. Yes, absolutely.
So you're in the middle of this. You have no idea what this organization is about, but you want to lead.
I got to learn later on, but yes, I didn't.
There's a political office just waiting for you. Wow. Okay.
Not necessarily. I had to compete against someone to win it. So
that's great. Well, how long you've been president?
Three semesters now.
Wow.
Actually, no, more than that.
So you're, have you, do you, how?
No, it's been two.
Oh, two. But three, including the summer.
Yes.
Through the summer.
Yes.
So, When are elections? Are they yearly?
This semester, yes. We hold it in the spring. Elections are held in the spring.
Okay. So you've been holding office since last year.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So excellent. So how many people are in the organization? How many people are part of Phi Theta Kappa currently that you're leading, Andy?
Huh. Well, I think there are probably a few hundred members at the school, mm-hmm. but a lot of them just join and then they're not active because a lot of colleges around the country will give scholarships to Phi Theta Kappa members.
Okay.
So it's an opportunity to get scholarship money.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a cash motivation. There's a lucrative motivation.
Absolutely.
To be in it. But then it appears that there's something more than that, and hopefully
right.
folks like Angela are learning that on as they go.
Mm-hmm.
That there's more to it than
just. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So what is the criteria to get into Phi Theta Kappa?
Well, you need a 3.5 GPA, overall GPA, and 12 college credits. So once you reach that benchmark, we send you an email and with instructions as to how you can apply and join.
So you just don't automatically get in because you've achieved
No. You're invited to join. It's an honor society.
Nice.
It's a fraternity or sorority.
How long now in the academic world of RVCC, how long does it take to get 12 credits?
Well, basically like a semester of...
Okay, so you have to participate for a full semester and achieve that 3.5
mm-hmm.
with a semester's worth of grades.
Yes.
And if you are on the cusp, just hovering at 3.5, and you dip into 3.49, what happens?
No, you don't.
No.
You're out of there.
3.5,
exactly. It's a line in the sand.
All right.
Well, once they join with the 3.5, there is a little bit of wiggle room in terms of their GPA.
Yeah.
And so they do get, if they drop below 3.3,
okay.
then we have like
a semester grace period, yeah.
So we're on double secret probation?
Yeah, double secret probation.
I'm making fun of the Animal House. So we have the honor. It's an honor society.
You know,
Stephen and I were talking just off the air. At one point, it was service as well. Is that right?
Yeah. When I first became an advisor, the focus was on service. So throughout the year, we did a tremendous amount of service projects that raised money. The goal was to raise money to help the community. But over time, the focus has changed to more of a scholarly focus where we're doing research mm-hmm. and we're analyzing the research and coming up with conclusions and creating projects based on those conclusions. Mm-hmm. So it's become, like I said, more scholarly, probably a little more difficult to come up with a good, strong project than it was 10 years ago when you just had to maybe, I don't know, throw up a table, sell some cookies, and feel good about yourself.
Okay. So it's kind of intrinsic now instead of extrinsic, right? When it was a service organization, we're working on other organizations or helping others. Now it seems it's working on the betterment of society through understanding data and making
research.
Mm-hmm. Now, we still, every year, we still try to get service involved, so we still do try to get community involved, and mm-hmm. then the college community involved as well. So, us as a chapter, we try to continue with the service, even though potentially the national and, like, kind of the organization itself has moved more to the scholarship. So, this year, we collected...
I think 670 articles of clothing for the... Samaritan Homeless mm-hmm. Something Program, and it's in Somerset.
Okay.
Yeah, for veterans.
So you're still keeping a little bit component of this.
Absolutely. The chapter and the society is built on four pillars, and that's excellence, scholarship, service, and leadership. So we try to get all those things in when we're in office.
Okay. So now you started. Stephen and Sarah, you took on this. Were you both co-chairs at the same time or came on at different times?
We came on at different times, but mm-hmm. we are co-advisors. So
co-advisors.
We do work together, on this and all the stuff that has to happen.
So when they came and knocked on your door and said, we'd like you to advise, and hey, man, I've been there. When I was in the school, at high school and in junior high school, my principal came down and said, you're the new guy, time for you to do something outside of your curriculum. Did you know much about it before you got involved to this particular program?
I didn't really know anything about it, and mm-hmm. I don't think any. I've talked to advisors from around the country, and when they're new, they literally know nothing about it. They sure. just know it's an honor society. It's a good thing. You're helping the most mm-hmm. motivated students, and then you learn as you go.
Sure. Now, what did you when they knocked on your door and said it's time for you to take this on? What did you learn about it? What was it? What was it initially, and what was your decision in trying to organize or reorganize it to take it to where it is today?
Well, to answer part of your question, I think I was asked to help out with one event, and then
how it happened.
Yeah, and then little by little it became more and more. And the co-advisor at the time, I grew to really like, mm-hmm. and I saw she really needed the help, so I was happy to help her out. I was a newer faculty member. I didn't have tenure yet.
Sure.
So I knew that this was a high-profile thing that would help me. So there was a little bit of self-serving
right.
there as well. And I enjoyed working with the students. It was meaningful work.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a little – and there are competitions. We write up entries based on our projects, and there are competitions. They're called Hallmark Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year I was an advisor – I was at a convention, and our chapter in Bergen County is Alpha Epsilon Phi, which is very close. And we sat behind them, and they just won every award. And we won nothing. And their president was this tall. I'm imagining him now as like a 7-foot guy in my memory. But every time they won, he would jump up yelling and screaming, yeah! And every time it just
crossed your
yeah!
mind.
So I said, we're going to win some of these awards. So I just became motivated through competition,
wow.
which may or may not be the best reason to get motivated. But we did have a good amount of success after that point,
yeah.
and we still have. So that's how it happened.
Where was that? Bergen County?
Well, I don't remember where the convention was. That's I do funny. Know that the college, it was Bergen County Community College. So
yeah.
you're listening for your name at these award ceremonies. So you're listening for Alpha Epsilon Pi.
Well, that's our chapter.
Oh.
But we kept hearing Alpha Epsilon Phi, which
oh.
is very close.
Oh.
So
wow.
And they weren't modest about winning either, which didn't help.
Sounds like RVCC knew exactly what they were getting you into.
I think so.
You had some intrinsic motivation right there. They put you right in the middle of it, dangled a sword of Damocles above your head, and bingo, we got an evolution taking place. So what did? So you saw that, and what were some of the things that you put in place that you wanted to achieve this award recognition?
Well, the key was to make sure we had projects that stood out, that accomplished the goals we were trying to accomplish. I honestly don't remember what our projects were back in the day. But as Sarah will attest, because she really is the brains behind our homework writing entries
yeah.
now, that it's really about focusing on the writing, because it doesn't matter what you do during the year, it's how you write it up, because you're evaluated by this written application.
Wow. So despite all the effort that goes into it, if you can't present it real well, you're...
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the actual act of communicating what we did really makes an impact in terms of us winning awards. We can have a great project, and then if we do not kind of present it in the way that it is a great project, nobody will know about it, and nobody will kind of appreciate it. So.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to find out all about those projects and how those all evolve. We got Stephen, Sarah, and Angela here, and we're talking about Phi Theta Kappa. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon and HuntingChamber.com. We're talking about Phi Theta Kappa. It's at RVCC. It's National International Organization Honor Society. And Stephen Schwarz and Sarah Banfield and Angela Bamford are here to talk all about... Got it right, Angela?
Close enough.
What did I do wrong?
Bamford.
Angela Bamford.
Yeah.
All right, I apologize.
That's okay.
It's not okay. The guy at the radio controls has got to know the people's names in the room.
Well, you're
a communication person, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Okay. No, don't belittle me. If I'm doing it wrong, you just get me. I'm
okay,
good.
I will.
All right, Angela Bamford.
Yes.
Okay. So we were talking before the break about the projects. Now it's and how. So somehow now, I find this fascinating because you're a 2-year college.
Yes.
And I've talked with numerous other people that come from RVCC mm-hmm. about this challenge. And this challenge to me, I think, is something that you deal with. I marvel at it because mm-hmm. you have a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You folks, you're only going to be here. You're pretty much done, right?
Yes.
The amount of people that you're trying to get into this organization, you only got 2 years to work with them. They only, if they come into RVCC, they don't get to join as their first semester because they have to have their 3.5 for 12 credits. Mm-hmm. So they don't even get in until the second semester.
Yes.
And then before you know it, they're off and running.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you organize all these people and also organize your thought process to come mm-hmm. up with projects that are relevant so that Stephen can compete with Alpha Delta Phi, Psi, and feel like you're actually not on a treadmill, that you're actually moving forward.
Yeah.
So what kind of projects come up? What are the ideas? How do they percolate? And how do you organize them in a manner to utilize the people who are part of your organization to achieve what you want to achieve? How does all that work?
It's not an easy process. It never is. But we, like I said before, the four pillars, we try to put together an event or a project that showcases each pillar. So, for instance, for leadership, we have a comprehensive leadership program called the TD Bank Leadership, sponsored by TD Bank. And we invite prominent CEOs and speakers and leadership mentors to come to school and speak with our members and RVCC students to help them develop their leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the service, we, like Steve said earlier, we try to put together programs that raise money, funds for the community, for the service, and for leadership as well. We put together a comedy show, and we invited three comics. We raised about $600 for the Museum of Tolerance.
We'll talk about the comedians, why they were invited.
Yes, I have to say that too, yes. So the comedians were, we invited non-mainstream, different comedians to come speak.
Mm-hmm.
One was a lesbian, one was transgender, the other was
spina bifida,
yes, to talk about their experiences as comedians and how those experiences affect them and affect their sets, the things that they present on.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to promote the idea of tolerance and diversity. So that's what we did. And then we did something else. I can't remember.
The college project that we do every year, which we did commit to complete this year.
Yes. To promote college completion, because a lot of students don't know that when you complete and graduate with your an associate's degree and you transfer to a state school, you're protected, your credits are protected. The schools can't pick and choose what they want. So we try to promote completion. And, so we got a big banner and got our students to sign pledge to complete.
Now, the nice thing about these projects is the national organization sets down a theme every year. And it's a two-year theme, so it helps maintain movement, and it helps, mm-hmm. Even though we're a two-year school and we get students moving on pretty quickly, with a two-year theme, we can kind of build like a two-year program kind of in a two-year project potentially, mm-hmm. if we wanted to. And so there is a little bit of foundation and direction from the national, international kind of organization for our projects. So like this year we'll have a new theme. This coming year, mm-hmm. we'll have a new theme.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
This year's was like, I think, Frontiers of
Exploration.
Yes. And our theme, the theme we went with was the theme of the exploration of new frontiers and how those frontiers help.
Human expression.
Yes.
All right, let me delve into this a little bit. So, first of all, is Phi Theta Kappa, is it for just community colleges or for 4 years as well?
Community colleges.
Yeah, just 2 years school.
Just, okay, so their perspective, they already know.
Yes.
For the most part, they're handing two-year academic institutions this theme, not a four-year.
Yes.
Okay, so they come up with that.
Yeah.
When do you hear about the theme?
So it's announced at the conventions, and there are multiple conventions that the organization has and mm-hmm. everything. So
probably March or April.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to hear, or you've already heard about a new one? Or
no.
We just know there's a new one coming.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're not concerned
so
with
they
it
leaked
until the
it.
Summer. Yeah, yeah, well, we're not worried about it until we actually start planning for next year.
So oh,
it's one
okay.
of those things where maybe it's out there, but we're not really concerned with it until
so
we need
been,
to be.
It's yeah. been pre-leaked.
Yeah.
Okay. So you learn about it in March. You're not going to worry about it
until the summer.
Summer, but and now somewhere along the line, Angelo, there's going to be an election. Someone
yes,
is going to take over
in April.
In April, and then at that particular point, that leadership committee is going to start now working towards how to work with this new theme about
exactly. That's how it works.
But it sounds like you already your organization has already started to think about it and started to plan for it.
Absolutely, right? Yes. We try to keep the process going and the train moving. So whatever we can do, the current offices, whatever we can do for the incoming ones, we try to do that.
So. But Stephen's telling me you guys aren't even thinking about it. You already got it started working.
Well, we are not thinking about the new theme, but then we have to prepare the new offices for their jobs because they don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah, they need to be prepared for the responsibilities of doing the work.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the specifics, but to understand what their general job is, the general amount of time it's going to take. And one thing that we forgot to mention is that in the summer, when the new officers are elected, there's an honors institute run by our region. And that helps train the incoming officers to learn really quickly over 2 days or so how this all works. So it's pretty intensive. It's like a world, you know, in and of itself.
Yeah.
What are the other officers besides the president? I imagine.
We have the senior vice president. His name is Troy Bright.
Senior vice president.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the VP of membership. Her name is Rebecca Sula. VP of leadership, Paige Owen, and VP of service is Bailey Morrison.
Okay.
Yeah. So five people.
Five people.
And seven, including our advisors. All right. We make it work.
And now, what do you guys do when you? When you have these seven people, you have your own little conclave to try and – is that
– Well, we meet. We have meetings, officer meetings.
How often?
And, twice a month.
Twice a month. Okay.
Yes. And we that's when we come up with the projects and we plan and we map out how we're going to execute each project.
Excellent.
Yeah. And in the summertime, whenever we get the new officers in the summertime, we meet almost once a week really set the foundation for the coming year in terms of like our big projects. Like so in the summer, we planned our comedy show.
Yes.
We planned a poster presentation. We planned a faculty panel all dealing with the concept of human expression and the idea of human expression pushing for new thoughts and tolerance and diversity and everything along those lines.
Okay, so when did this comedy show idea show up?
In the summer of last year.
Okay.
We met every week.
So you were elected, and seven of you got together.
Yes.
And it was this
process.
Theme of tolerance, and somebody said, let's have a comedy show, and then it evolved into having these unique comedians.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
How many people, Nate, we said there's 100 or so people that are part of the organization,
the actors,
but how many people are you actually seeing with boots on the ground doing something?
Well,
it does change.
It's the 80-20 rule, right?
It does change per semester, though, too, because some of our students will, you know, would have been here in the fall, and now they've moved on, and they have graduated potentially, and they're going to another school.
Sure.
And so, like, the spring semester, we might see different people,
but
probably on average, like, in terms of, like 20 or 30 really dedicated volunteering. And then we have a ton of people that will come and attend events.
Yes.
So, like, at the leadership series that Angela mentioned before, or, like, at the comedy show or other events that we might sponsor, we can have anywhere from, like, you know, 50 to
100.
You know, 100 people at it.
But those are people maybe part of your organization, maybe not. It's just supporting your cause.
Right.
Yes.
True.
So you got somebody that's in charge of quote-unquote marketing and stuff like that?
Yes. The senior vice president is, And this year we really tried to expand our social media outreach. We started a new Facebook page. We are constructing or putting together our website, our chapter website.
Mm-hmm.
We started a new YouTube channel.
For all right.
We had a plan to expand our outreach. Mm. So this year has been a good year.
So Angela, how does when people are invited to be part of this organization, what's the communication, the communique that goes to them and says, hey, you got your 3.5, you get your 12 credits, we'd like to invite you to be part of this. You didn't really know what you were getting into.
No.
But yet you still joined, and Stephen was inferring that some people are just kind of getting into it for the scholarship potential.
Yeah.
How much of it is communicating the service, the beyond the scope of academia, that to draw people in and make them part of the organization to achieve these goals, achieve these new.
As an honor society, our main goal, our main focus is on the leadership and helping students grow. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, you join, you get the name on your resume and then you transfer. Some people do that, like you said, but then we have the other students who really want to get involved and do things and change things on campus and in the community. Mm-hmm. So we have a group on an email group. Mm-hmm. That's how we communicate with them. And then we ask for volunteers. They get points for every volunteer hour. And based on those points, there are perks that go along with the points. So that's how we encourage them to stay involved.
Steven. The other thing we do, too, is every time that we have an induction, so every time that we accept new students into the organization, we have an orientation process that we go through to try to highlight the things that, you know, they might not be aware of. Most of our students are aware that, hey, scholarship money comes with this, potentially, in joining this. And so that's how we get kind of the foot in the door, so to speak.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then during those orientations, we try to highlight, well, we're not just about money. We're also about development. In a development of soft skills, development in terms of leadership, development in terms of you know, giving back to the community and everything. So
now the two of you have you seen an evolution in the generations that have come through RVCC? Because what I've started to see is going from the middle school up through the high school and now in college, there's a different mindset with this particular generation. Have you seen it change over the time that you've been presiding over this organization? How many students are buying into and being more service oriented?
Well, I've seen our officer team get younger over time. I think what makes things more difficult to answer that question is that there are a lot of when I started as an advisor, there weren't that many organizations at the college. So there's a lot of competition now, a lot of service organizations at the college pulling from our pool of potential candidates for people to help out. So it's difficult to really see an actual change. I think overall, if you're asking if people are more political. I haven't seen that political and open to change. I haven't seen it that much at RVCC, as I've heard there's been colleges around the country that sort of radical kind of
radical. I actually feel that they're more community minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More service minded. Stuff like this when I was going through school was not even in my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said,
they're much more selfish.
No, I think so. Again, I think that it's difficult to answer because, again, we had probably more people helping in the past, but there weren't as many organizations trying to pull.
Gotcha.
There's a limited pool of people, and now there are more organizations on campus. Yeah. So I think that's what makes answering that question difficult.
Okay. Well,
the other thing, though, too, is we end up with students who are like the best and the brightest. Like, they have to have like this really high GPA, so they're already very much achieving students, and so they're really active in terms of wanting to do a lot of stuff. More. And whether they're doing it with our organization or they're doing it with another organization, most of our students are doing something beyond just...
Yeah, that's a good answer to the question. We already... we're dealing with the best of the best, so we've always had access to that.
Great.
Regardless of...
Super.
Whether they're millennials or not, I suppose.
Well, I like I said, I am fascinated by how it's grassroots. I've seen it through the middle school, even the elementary school, growing up, and how many kids, students, young adults are much more focused on changing the world in a good positive way, not the old 60s rallies and you know. Got to get rid of Vietnam type thing. all right. So now you had this idea, and now how does it gel? What do you got these planning meetings going on in the summer, but now you got to really make the rubber meet the road, and you only have so much time. Yeah. So how do you divide up the work? How was that all going on?
Hmm.
Well, we try to put together events, like mm-hmm. a consistent number of events each semester. We don't have a quota or a specific number of events that we have to put together. But then, like we said, we have a theme that we follow. We mm-hmm. try to follow that theme. So when we start with tolerance and diversity, most of our events were based on that theme.
Sure.
And like I said, we don't really have a specific number.
Are you talking about individual projects?
Projects.
Well, in this particular case, this comedian project.
Individual.
So I know me as an advisor. Yeah. I try to identify what officers we have and what kind of skill set they have and what things that they're mm-hmm. really good at. And then I'm like, okay, this is what we can kind of do. I think we'll be successful at this. You're really good at whatever X, Y, and Z is. And then that's how I think of it in terms of our projects. Like, what do we have in terms of our officer group, and what can they potentially mm-hmm. be successful at because of the skills that they have and that sure. they excel at?
Yeah.
And there's certain things that the advisors take on where we say, oh, if we need to deal with an administrator, then perhaps an advisor.
So you guys break the barriers, take down
right.
the challenges.
Yeah. Right. And then we basically, Sarah's really good at dividing up responsibilities so that everybody has a job. And then we all have to check in with each other and make sure that the tasks are following through, and to make sure that that's the thing about being an advisor. After a number of years, you kind of just know you need to check in now. You need to check in now and check on the progress.
But it doesn't sound like it's very cookie cutter. It sounds like Sarah's using the skills of the people to come in, and you have to kind of evolve the team.
Yeah, it definitely.
Oh, yeah. A lot of problems. Honestly, being an advisor has increased my problem solving skills tremendously.
Good.
Of course, it has.
Tremendously so.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take another quick break. Believe it or not, we are flying through this show, and we'll talk a little bit more about the future of Phi Theta Kappa and where Angela is going to take us next semester. Hang on. Be right back with more Good Morning Hunter in a minute.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, we're back. We're listening to Good Morning Hunter and HuntChamber.com. And we're talking about Phi Theta Kappa, and Angela was just telling us about her, where she's planning her next soiree. Where are you going to take your, what clubs are you going to be president of over in U of Penn?
University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. You're just going to jump in there too?
Well, yes, that's
right.
The plan.
Good
yeah.
Good for you. Good for you, man. I'm glad I met you because I'm going to keep you. I'm going to keep your name on a little napkin. And I was like, "Where is Angela today?" So
nice.
We only have about 5-6 minutes left. Now we talked all about this planning for this particular event, this comedian event. But now, at some point, you did all this service, and I'm getting the feeling that somehow now you have to promote all this in back into this paper that Sarah was talking about.
Yeah, the
right?
Hallmarks, yeah.
So after all is said and done, after all the work and all the fun and the big event and collecting the money, at some point you have to thump your chest so that you can go back to take on Bergen Community College.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, how does that paper work?
So it's actually done all online, which is kind of nice now. It did used to be paper that we would have to mail in and things. But you basically answer questions that they have, and it's a word count that it's based off of. And all the questions speak to, like, how did you develop leadership with this project? What is the basic idea of your project? How does it fit the theme to the project? And all this kind of point-blank questions that does, to a certain extent, make it easy for us if we answer the question. The hard part is actually answering the question, though, because it's very easy to ramble and very easy to go off of.
Well, so now it begs the question. Do you know what is this a typical form that's always coming the same time, the same format, or is it applied to that theme?
It is the same format to a certain extent. They do adjust questions depending on, like, what they want, right? You know, in terms of,
I think it's part of, not really particular to the theme, but a part of just trying to improve the process because we go to a national convention every year, and at that national convention, the highlight is the award ceremony. It's the last thing, and you're competing with chapters all around the country, and there are judges who have judged every homework application from around the country, so they want the award applications to, I guess, be as accurate as possible to indicate what the projects were that we participated in.
Sure.
So I think it's tweaked more out of trying to improve it than rather than be particular to the theme.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that happens, especially when a project of this magnitude gets its own life and moves on its own, is that you kind of lose sight of the questionnaire. So who's the one that keeps law and order to make sure that the project is not veering off somewhere and not applying to
Sarah?
Sorry.
You're the policeman, huh?
Yeah. I'm definitely kind of aware of the process and trying to get us to stick to the process, like all the little steps that we need to take and coming back. And Steve is definitely there, too. Like, he's there.
He knows the process.
Right, but I'm more of an idea person. And Sarah's more of a, we need to stick to this straight line.
Yeah.
All right. So you're the visionary and she's the detail.
Yeah. Oriented.
And that's what you really need.
Well, no, it's huge. And that's a learning lesson unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you learned that, Angela, with all the people you deal with in the organization.
Oh, yeah.
Is that everybody's,
that's different.
They call them blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's, their skills are great. And
yes.
Sarah was pointing out, but meanwhile, they're completely unaware of some of the other things that have to be done.
Yes.
And so, okay. So Sarah keeps everybody on the straight and narrow make sure that that when it's finally old. So now, Sarah, how do you collect all this information? Is it?
So this year we tried something a little bit different. In the past, we took all the questions that we had to answer and we kind of farmed it out to the different officers to kind of answer and write up. And this year, we all sat together in a room with everybody being on a computer and we all contributed to every single question. And I think it went really well that way because then we got every single perspective.
It took three days.
Wow.
During the winter break. While all the other faculty at the college were home relaxing, we were here for three straight days.
Yeah, we definitely sacrificed for this.
Wow, good for you.
It's a win. It's all to win, right?
Well, I imagine if you tried to have each question answered, you're not going to get a... You're not going to get consistency through the way it's written.
Yes, right, exactly. That's exactly it. Exactly. The writing style was consistent, and we didn't miss any details because we had seven people.
There you go. So it's just the seven people writing it, even after all that other work is going on?
Yeah.
It all boils down to you seven.
It's all the officers and the advisors. Yes.
Right. So when's the convention? Is this now you submitted this?
Yes, we did. We submitted it in
April 7th through the 10th.
All right. What's your prognostication there, Stephen? You think you're going to stick it to Bergen County?
I don't know what Bergen County. See, here, the wild card is we don't know what Bergen County did. They might have been working as hard as we did.
You didn't have spies on Bergen County?
No, we don't take it that far. Paranoia doesn't go that far. But I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. But